At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way. Whoop, whoop.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. This is episode number 503. Of the show. We very much appreciate your patronage. Thank you for listening. If you would like to contact us, you can do so via the email address mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. We are still giving away my watch, my Luke Leon watch. We're giving it away in 2 weeks. So you got it. We have 35 entrants so far, which is next to nothing. You got a 1 in 35 shot at this point of winning a beautiful gold watch with the Baller Lifestyle logo on the back. So please, all you got to do is send us your email address, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. We will be drawing that winner on the first show of the new year, the year in review. Also, you can call us 949-464-TBLS. You cannot enter the contest via the phone number. You can only do that via the email that I just gave you, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. You can also, call us just because you want to call us. 949-464-TBLS is the phone number. And, of course, I realized just a little, I'm thinking about the direction of the show in the new year, and I realized that for the past couple of years, I've been paying some Bangladeshi to juice our numbers and to try to boost the popularity of the show. And I stopped doing that, and I realized rather than trying to find so many new listeners every single week, I should be leaning into the people that care the most about us. And that is my pledge to the listeners. That's why I've been posting all of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast after shows that we do every Friday night. That goes on our Red Circle bonus content, subscriber only, paywalled area. I also do my bonus prize show. I got a bonus prize show to discuss our 75 hard contest, not a contest, but a challenge that I am participating in with the audience, a fitness lifestyle challenge that begins the 2nd of January. I have a show. My God, Ed. I have a show to post there that's going to talk about that. And you can only get it if you subscribe. You can only get all the bonus content we do every week if you subscribe. We're doubling down on the people that support us in the new year, and fuck the haters. So please consider subscribing if it is within your budget to do so and you care to support this type of content that we give you here. And the link is in the show notes. Click the link, sign up there. It's $5 a month. I'm joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well.
That's good.
I would say, even though I'm not super jazzed about ever being on camera.
Oh, yeah.
I think the evolution is we got to be on YouTube. There's so many people that like watch YouTube.
It's true. It's the number two search engine. Yes, I know. Yeah, it's true. And it's most weird. Like, it's weird because you hear, I'm not a YouTuber, so it is foreign to me.
I use it to check some things out sometimes.
Yeah.
Obviously, like it's, it can be a worthwhile app or website, but there are a lot of people that consume podcasts on YouTube.
They do.
So I feel like that's the next thing we got to do.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yep.
I forget. Oh, with a friend in town, I bought a half season package to the Knicks.
Oh,
and the idea is
nice.
It's 21 regular season games or something.
Yeah.
And you can sell You can sell because it's midtown Manhattan. It's like right in the middle. It's so easy to get to. And if there's a tourist in town, they're like, oh, I'll go see the Knicks
game.
And
I love doing that when I go to a city. I love going. I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. I love going to seeing a show or a ball game. That's like my favorite thing to do as a visitor to a city. So that makes sense.
So like we've already, we sold a couple and we're selling like December 23rd, yeah. New Year's Day. Yep. And then I go to some, and I went to a game last night.
Yep.
And there were two women that showed up like halftime. Our section is behind the basket. Okay. So it's like, for some reason, they're not great seats, but like it frames the court nicely. That so there's nice, always, yeah. There's always people who pose for pictures during breaks and like, hey, the pictures, right. You know, like here's the court in the background and the crowd and everything. And there were two women, both very pretty, wearing hijabs, and they posed for pictures for a quarter and a half. just kept posing.
Yeah.
And so I started shouting, like I was like, "No, that wasn't the one. You got it. You got it." Because they just kept taking the same picture. And then the section got into it, and then this one guy, and he was like straight out of Central Casting, New York Knicks fan guy. He taps me on the shoulder. He goes, "Watch this." And he goes, something like, "Sweethearts, you're both beautiful. You need to be in the picture together." And so he takes her phone. And then he just puts it on selfie mode. And he just keeps taking pictures of us. Yeah. Like hundreds.
That's funny.
He just took like, he probably took 75 pictures. He just kept like, all right. Lean back, do this. And he just was taking a picture of himself.
That's very funny.
And me and my buddy in the background.
I love that. I love that. That's funny. I was, look, the influencing has gotten out of control. Me and my girlfriend were in Cabo a few months ago, and we were just relaxing. The sun had set. We're having a drink on our balcony, and we could look down and see the lobby, and the lobby was like open outdoor lobby. And it kind of looked out towards the beach and it was all lit up and stuff. And all of a sudden, all these teams of influencers came down and were sticking out their butts and taking pictures because it was a good background. And she's like, "Let's go down there and just start doing our own photo shoot and taking pictures." And I was kind of drunk. I was too much of a puss to do it. And she's like, "It'll be so funny." She's like, you go like right next to them and I'll start taking pictures. And it would have been so funny, but I was too much of a puss to do it. But somebody has to do it. Like what you guys did. Somebody has to put a stop to all this influencing.
Like to what end?
We're being over-influenced. Yes.
Who's too subscribing much influence.
To this?
Too much influence.
How many Paul Walkoff HBPs are there in the world that are looking at everybody's butt all day on Instagram? You know, it's just not... too many, apparently. Plenty. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. When do the in-season tournament champs, Los Angeles Lakers, come to Madison Square Garden, the Mecca? Because have they been there yet already? Because you're definitely going to that one.
No, definitely selling that one.
Everyone,
that's where you make money.
Yeah, that's true. LeBron James, good point. I forgot last week, we were on episode 501. We played this beautiful cameo that we were gifted by Ben906, Lala, Stu, Dolomite D, Mateo. They all got together and sent us this beautiful message, and we played it at the end of the show. And I just wanted to, that's the only time I've seen it, and I wanted to check back in and watch once again, having seen it one time.
You gotta add that.
I'm going to.
What is it like?
He says, shout out to Pearl Harbor.
Shout out to Pearl Harbor.
So that's what we'll do. Let's play our beautiful message that we got from the great Shaggy Two Dope that thinks our show is called Baller Lifestyle Fam.
But one thing that I wanted to bring up when you mentioned 501.
Yeah.
Remember when Levi's tried to make button fly a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Like we were fucking Amish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buttonfly.
I think it's still there. It's by far their most popular pant style, Ed, the 501. It's
Buttonfly.
People, a 501.
Like we're all Amish. Like zippers.
Yes.
Like zippers are somehow a bad thing. You want to button in a time of need?
I know.
Fuck out of here.
And you know what? I've had some 5-0. I don't think I currently have. Well, here so a couple thoughts come to mind. One, everyone knows that listens to this show. I have not worn underwear since 1990. And a couple times that has come back to bite me quite literally as I have zipped up my dick. Now, I have had some 501, some Buttonfly, and I have some other Buttonfly pants. But
you're currently a consumer of Buttonfly pants?
I have some. I do have some. But what I notice is that the buttons can tend to kind of wear out in the button on the Buttonfly. Like one button will wear out, and all of a sudden you're out there trolling. Like you're hanging some dick. You could be, much like the great Nathan Fielder, you could accidentally become a sex offender if you're not too careful wearing the Buttonfly jeans. That's probably a good, but conversely, if you're wearing a zipper, you could zip up your dick. And most of my pants are zipper, but I do also have some Buttonfly options that I notice tend to come open and allow my hog to expose itself occasionally.
You leave the barn door open.
Yeah, which you don't want. And what I'm remembering here is that we're going to play the great Shaggy 2 Dope here, but I'm noticing something because look, these guys do a cameo and I can only imagine what Shaggy 2 Dope goes for. This guy is in demand, probably not as much as the great George Santos, who I've heard has pivoted to cameo. He's probably the most requested.
I haven't watched, but apparently Jimmy Kimmel has like paid for, you know, a ton of them, and he just keeps. And now George Santos is like demanding more money. It's like, buddy, that's not how it works.
No, that's true. Yeah, you got to do all well. Yeah, you got to deliver. That's the problem when you charge money to work and people buy your service, you then have to perform the service. So this Shaggy 2 Dope, he, much like the great Larry Minetti.
Cost $25, by the way.
Yes.
As did Larry Wilcox. I had him promote my history book.
That's right. That's right, Larry Wilcox.
Both $25.
They tend to have tremendous difficulty with the name of the show because Larry and in Larry Minetti's defense, he was fucking wasted.
He was housed. He had quite a few Mai Tais. Rick's.
He was so shit-faced, and he couldn't get the name of the show right. And similarly, the great, the iconic Shaggy 2 Dope, who appears to be in his lair here, he also has difficulty with the name. Let's check in with the beautiful Shaggy 2 Dope.
Hey, hey, Brian. Hey, hey, Ed. How in the fuck are you, fellas? This guy right here, me? Huh? Me? This guy? I'm Shaggy 2 Dope. You guessed it. From the Insane Clown Posse. You know what? Usually I'm on these motherfuckers yelling and screaming and kicking up dust and causing a hoot. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to relax this time and calm down a little bit. You know what I mean? Because today's something special. I want you to be able to hear me loud and clearly. That shit rhymed and I didn't even mean it. That's how much of a fucking pimp I am. Now listen. I know that you guys have done not one, not two, not three, not even four, but 500
That's right.
Episodes of Baller Lifestyle, fam.
Yeah, Baller
Lifestyle. Holy shit, man. That's a big achievement, and you should be proud of yourselves. And I would like to say congratulations over that, because goddamn, I know I do the fucking Shaggy Show. Not even near 100 fucking episodes, and it's fucking rough, man. You guys put the work in. You put the grind in. You put the time in. You committed to the shit, you know what I'm saying? And that's how the fuck you do it. You, my friends, are a shining example to other fucking podcasters how to fuck to stick to your guns and do the shit correctly, you know what I'm saying? Maybe I can get a couple tips from you guys on how the fuck to run my shit, because my shit obviously is sinking like a fucking... like a aircraft carrier in the fucking Pearl Harbor.
Red Circle.
You know what I'm saying? Not nowadays, neither. Back in the fucking early 40s when them shit's all sunk. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way. Brian, Ed, congratulations.
Hold on. I want to get that clean so I can.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I was laughing too. I want to get that clean. So I'm going to adjust the levels here, and we're going to get that clean, because we're going to be starting the show with this beautiful quote from the iconic Shaggy 2 Dope, and I'm going to try to line it up as best I can, and we're gonna get that clean. Okay, let's all be quiet.
Back in the fucking early 40s, when them shit's all sunk, you know what I'm saying? Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way. Brian, Ed, congratulations and big ups to the Baller Lifestyle fam. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Kyle Love. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Well, we might have to see.
Hold on, Brian.
I stepped on the whoop, whoop, too, and I feel like we're going to need that, too, Ed.
Yeah, there's so many good parts.
I know. We're going to let's clip this whoop, whoop, too, and I'm going to come back after I edit the show, and I'm going to get all this.
Fam, you know what I'm saying? Kyle Love, whoop, whoop.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Hey, Brian. No, start again. Ed.
Now, just because of that.
So much energy.
He did a great job. Now, he thought the show was called Baller Lifestyle Fam. And look, it's a beautiful, iconic tribute from one of the greats, the man that taught us about Dirt Snow.
Dirt Snow cures COVID, right?
Cures COVID, yeah. Oh. Dirt Snow, yeah. But let's also check in with the great Larry Minetti, because we're reminded of his beautiful cameo. Let's check in with Larry Minetti. Oh my God. Hold on. Why isn't it playing?
Let me give a backstory. So
Yeah. Do that.
So I sent Larry Minetti, like I, you know, hired his services, and yeah. I said, this was right after we did the theme song tournament.
Oh yeah.
And I argued that Magnum PI should have won and Dukes of Hazzard won. Yeah. And so I said, why don't you just tell Brian that the Magnum PI theme song was the best theme song? Yeah. That's all I wrote something like that. Yeah. I just thought it would be funny, like a response the next week or a week or two later.
Well, he loves it too, Ed. He loves it too, Magnum PI.
But just this is his response to me saying, just tell him the Magnum PI theme song is the best.
Let's see what Larry Minetti has to say.
Hey, Ed, congratulations. On Ballers Podcast.
Ballers Podcast.
And you're right. They do have the greatest theme, Magnum PI. I love it like you do. And truly, I wish you aloha.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Aloha. Wow. Hear it every week. Hear it every week. Larry likes to have a few. Larry likes to have a good time.
Likes his Mai Tais.
Yeah, he definitely does. So I'm just wanted to revisit that appearance from the great Shaggy 2 Dope. And I'm recalling, and I don't have it handy because it's been a while. Ben 906 bought us that beautiful cameo from the great Norm Duke. The
bowler.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure he got the name right because he's a pro.
He seems more coherent.
Yeah, he is. You know, Kyle Inscani has established a text relationship with Ben 906, Ed. And you know how he sent us those videos of him? He was filling in on League Night at the bowling alley, and the bowling alley in his tiny town has six lanes in it.
Yeah.
Well, he sent that same video to Ben 906. And Ben 906 is shitting on his ball returns, says they're the worst ball returns made. And then he's shitting on Kyle Bold, like a 100 or something. And Ben 906 says that's great for his team because it brought their handicap down or up, whichever the good direction is. Yeah. Can you believe that?
Don't be a snob.
Yeah. A snob to our delightful. No. I mean, he loves Kyle, he loves the interaction. He's very
excited. Everyone loves Kyle, but.
Yeah, he's very excited to have the interactions, but he's a bowling snob. He's a bowling snob.
I'm going bowling in a week and a half or so.
Don't share your score.
For my son's birthday. Sounds fun. I hope to break 100. That's what I hope to do.
Around 100 is a good score because, look, you don't want to be. I've said this many times, and I'll use video games as an example. You don't want to be too good at video games because that means you just play too many video games. You should always lose to a kid at video games because being good at video games means you spend way too much time playing video games. I would argue similarly, any type of bar activity, if you're real fucking good at darts, you're spending too much time in fucking pubs all day. Similarly, if you're a real good bowler, you've been in the alley. Yeah.
I'm not good at darts.
No.
But I kind of wish I was. Yeah. That would be pretty badass to just be like,
yeah. It is. Yeah. My thing is, any game like that, what's the one where it's there's sawdust on the thing and it's slick? Shuffleboard. Shuffleboard. I get so bored so quickly that it's impossible for me to, like, a couple plays and I'm like on to the next thing. I'll fuck with
a game of shuffleboard. Yeah, if that's at a bar, I like it for
It's enjoyable. Foosball, I suck at it. Too technical. I don't mind a little air hockey.
Sure.
I'll fuck with you on some air hockey. But again, I wasn't in a fraternity. But the only time somebody is really good at foosball is if they've been in a fraternity, in which case, you know, A, they're good at foosball. Two, they've done lots of gay shit in their lives because they were in a fraternity.
There's another route.
Yeah.
I have been recording the podcast for probably the last 7 years.
Yeah.
About 6 feet from a foosball table because my son really wanted one. Yeah,
but you never play it.
When we first got it, I played it a bunch with him and I got pretty good.
Oh, really?
I haven't played in a couple of years.
You also have your own Papa Shot.
I do. That's, as we've learned that recently. That is 2 feet from, I have a little room. It's like, it would be a bedroom.
Yeah.
It would be a bedroom, but my sons share a bedroom.
Yeah.
So this... And Michelle won like I don't know, maybe it was Black Friday or something. She's like, "Hey, do you think the boys would like a Papa Shot? It's a double wide Papa Shot. Like this room is full of foosball and a Papa Shot. There's not much room. Yeah. There's a TV. I've got like a little table where the computer sits so I can do this podcast. But yeah, I've got enough games. As soon as we're empty nesters, they're taking their shit."
Yeah,
I'm reclaiming my home.
They could take it with them to the frat house.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about who died. Oh, I hit both buttons again.
It's a sad segment.
Very sad.
And it will not be an update. On who's alive,
nope.
Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daily has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Who died? Who died? Who died?
Tell me who died.
Who died? Who died?
Ed, who'd we lose this week?
Sad segment. The Howard Stern Show universe, Ralph Sorella, who was like the guy who dressed Howard and also was like called in all the time and was just a, you know, a weird guy that glommed onto Stern's life. But, you know, everybody loved him.
He was Howard's stylist and he would dress Howard and do Howard's hair to look very similar to Ralph Sorella.
Right. Yeah. And like there would be funny stories like when Howard was single for a while, like Ralph was getting him out to clubs and shit like that. And
yeah, they go to Scores.
He was just very much a part of the show. And he died 58 years old. And he, you know, based on the and like last week, Stern like did like, you know, they paid tribute to him. And it was pretty much 2 hours of just telling ridiculous stories about this guy being, you know, just a fuck up and stuff. But he was 58, did not go to the doctor, and apparently it was a treatable form of cancer that led to his demise. But like Stern said, he just refused to ever go to the doctor.
Well, didn't he not? He had no health insurance.
Yeah.
In the richest society that's ever existed, You can't, you have to be buy a service that allows you to see a doctor. This is, it's only the richest people that have ever lived. We've all agreed and decided that only the most, with the people with the most means amongst us can see the doctor. That's just how it's going to be. So if you can't afford it, go fuck yourself. Sorry, Ralph.
So being self-employed, we have our own health insurance, but even then you have to make the decision that like, I don't want to pay for the deductible.
Yeah.
Like my shoulder's kind of bothering me, but like, fuck, do I need to pay for the full like specialist visit? Like yeah. We're still, even if you have insurance, you're making economic decisions because you don't want to spend more.
That's right.
It's just fucked.
Yeah. It's the worst system that exists in the richest country that's ever been.
Horrible.
It's insane.
RP Frank Wycheck, former Terp and Titan tight end. He was the guy who made the like the crossfield pass in the Music City Miracle.
That's right.
52 years old. He almost definitely had a CTE issue. My buddy who lives in Nashville said like he used to be maybe like the play-by-play or not play-by-play, like color for radio Titans games, and he went missing a couple years ago, and they said the last few years, like it's been a challenge for this dude.
That's so sad. That's awful.
Damn. Yeah. CT.
RIP.
RIP. Denny Lane, the Wings and Moody Blues co-founder, 79 years old. Do you think he was like pissed off that Penny Lane? Yeah. He's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Penny Lane.
I'm Denny Lane.
Or maybe he watched Almost Famous and he's like, oh, they named that character after me. And it's like, no, it's Penny Lane.
Very close. Penny Lane.
Okay. There's the RIP. Now we've got a couple thumps. Lionel Dahmer, Jeffrey's dad, 87 years old. Is there any chance this was just a freakish thing and he was a good dad? Is there any chance?
Zero chance. Cause he
zero,
knew,
right?
Because he knew about, well, obviously, there's the nature versus nurture aspect, but, and I don't know.
He sent his son to Ohio State, so there's already a problem there.
I know he knew that he was like murdering squirrels and stuff around the house. I know that's
true. There
were
flags.
Yeah. But there's no serial killer that doesn't have some type of trauma and usually a head injury. So
usually, but is there ever a situation where like it's just some freak?
No.
Like, do you think BTK had a very loving home and just
no? I saw how Twitter has turned into a thing that it just shows you. Oh, I'm sorry. You know how X has turned into a
thing? Don't you go Jay Stu on me.
You know how Twitter has just turned into a thing? Like, I open Twitter and it's like, here's a video of a plane crash, and I'm like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the other day and it's like, here's a picture of BTK in front of Dennis Rader in front of his, I'll put some respect on it. Here's a picture of Dennis Rader in front of his house with his daughter. And I'm like, I didn't ask to see that. And I'm like, boy, those fucking hedges are trimmed perfectly. Like there is not, I mean, the mulch, it's exactly the right level of mulch. I don't see a single piece of mulch out of place in that front yard.
He used to measure that lawn.
He did. He liked things a certain way. Yes.
He's very particular about everything.
Yes.
And also a beautiful on the outside man.
Yes.
But not on the inside. Ryan O'Neal, 82 years old.
Yeah.
One of the more handsome dudes ever. Gorgeous. And one of the worst dads.
Yeah.
I knew he had been a problematic figure.
Yeah.
But then I read in an obituary, one of his sons, he gave cocaine at 11 years old.
Is it Redmond?
I think so.
He's got a son.
Who's 11.
And also the son is a ginger and his name is Redmond. Like what? Who does that to a kid? Let's name our ginger kid Redmond.
That's like Jay Stu's joke about the OJ limo driver.
Yeah. Alan Park. How are you going to have a limo driver named Park? Ryan O'Neal also, he was, people don't remember. You got to be of a certain age. The dude was a fucking massive star. In fact, they wanted him to be Rocky. They bought the script, or they were about to buy the script, and they're like, we're going to take the script And you're going to be so happy, Sly. We're going to put
he was gorgeous.
Yeah, we're going to put the biggest star in Hollywood, Ryan O'Neal. He's going to play Rocky Balboa. And Sly's like, fuck no, he isn't. I'm going to direct it. I wrote it. I'm going to direct. I'm nobody. I've been in a porno. That's the only reason anybody would know me. Oh my God, I'm making myself calm. It's because I was in a porno. But no. He held his ground and Rocky played Rocky, but it should have been Ryan O'Neal. That was the intention.
Then didn't he do The Main Event, which was another like boxing movie, but it was not good.
Yes, he did. He was
massive, and he huge. Had a huge booger sugar problem, which led to him being a really awful dad.
Yep.
And there was also a story, grown Tatum O'Neal said, like, he came up behind her one time and, like, goosed her and was like, hey, let's get out of here. And she's like, hey, Dad, it's me. And he's like, oh.
Because he was too fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, he's trying to sex his daughter.
Amazing. R.I.P. Okay, let's talk some sports.
It's Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my crew rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. My own joy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports this week?
Well, the big news this week was Shohei Ohtani signed a $700 million deal with the Dodgers, which they're blatantly circumventing the luxury tax and paying him $2 million a year.
And the California state income tax, which
it's completely fucked up.
Look, there's states
shouldn't be allowed.
There's states that don't have income tax, and they have an unfair advantage in signing Major League Baseball contracts. So the Dodgers, look, they got some Wall Street guys at the helm, Ed, and you know these guys know their way around how to dodge taxes.
Right, but also the luxury tax.
That's also a tax. It's got tax right in the name, Ed.
This is horseshit that they are allowed to do this.
State it's income tax.
Complete horseshit.
Luxury tax, all the taxes.
Is the text from Jay, or the tweet from Jay Stu, who's like, well, this will be good because it'll take away the asterisk win, a World Series win.
There's no
asterisk.
But
the downside. Yeah, there's no asterisk. And by the way, you circumventing a bunch of fucking rules.
That's right.
Means the asterisk is very much there.
That's right. A new asterisk.
And he's like, and now that'll add bandwagon fans. Buddy.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are like already in the top three in bandwagon teams.
Oh,
like,
that's right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, also, I forgot to ask Jason because we did the Bachelor Lifestyle last night. I forgot to ask him. Because he said, because Ohtani was originally thought to be a done deal to the Toronto Blue Jays. And Jay Stu made a tweet that said, if that happened, he would be holding Andrew Friedman personally responsible. And Andrew Friedman obviously must have seen Jay Stu's ex because He found a way to get Ohtani into Dodger Blue because he was concerned that Jay Stu would be holding him personally responsible for not signing Ohtani. So Jay Stu's got to be pretty proud of himself.
So I don't like the Dodgers, but I like it's not like I feel the same way about the Yankees or Red Sox. Like I don't hate it. Like I just don't care about the Dodgers.
Yeah,
but I really am hoping nothing more that at some point during this contract, Ohtani has paternity leave. That's my that's my hope.
He would never do that. He knows his duty. It is interesting to me, too, that I think Ohtani made like $30 million a year. And then on paper, he's making $70 million this year, but he's taking a haircut down to $2 million. So that means it was worth $68 million to Shohei Ohtani to not have to play in Anaheim anymore. He's like, I can go to Anaheim tomorrow for $70 million, or I can go to LA for two. Give me the fucking two. Get me the fuck out of this shithole. Good for him.
And
yes,
I love Ohtani.
Of course.
And I think he's the best baseball player of all time.
He's got a weird swing, but he makes contact.
As a pitcher, his numbers are Jim Palmer, equivalent of Jim Palmer. And then as a hitter, he's a Hall of Famer too.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy.
He's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
So ex-Mets GM Steve Phillips thinks Shohei Ohtani's contract takes him off the hook for the Bobby Bonilla deal.
So we should delve in to the Bobby Bonilla deal. Because first of all, I don't hold Steve Phillips responsible for that. That was a Bernie Madoff situation.
The affair with the ESPN staffer.
Yes. That.
Which the New York Post had his picture and that staffer's picture a lot.
That was troubling, Ed. And I, you know, look, I'm not one to judge you people. You should do what you think you need to do.
Like what you like.
Like what you like. But that,
you're going to throw it away.
That was, I mean, the guy was on TV. And
he's a good looking guy.
He's a handsome, middle-aged man. And he just looked around the studio and he's like, find me the sloppiest piece.
Well, you're closest in proximity.
Yes. Yes. Somebody raise your hand if you're the sloppiest piece. Oh, you. Okay. Come on over. Let's get it moving. So I was looking this up. Bobby Bonilla was due and he was done and look, this is the game. This is what these owners wrought on themselves. Everybody,
I actually think it's a great move for an agent to do it to their clients. Just a piece, you know, maybe not as big a number, but these guys have money and you always hear of them blowing it. It's like Bobby Bonilla. I'm not implying he's stupid.
Sure.
But if he was a moron, he'd still be making, a million and change in July.
1.193 million every July 1st.
Right.
Yeah.
And so like, even if he had been a moron to this point, well, this coming July, he gets a big payday again. Yeah.
They owed him in 2001. They owed him $5.9 million guaranteed. And they were cash poor because Bernie Madoff stole all their money, the Wilpons money. So they go, hey, we'll make a deal with you. Instead of the $6 million we owe you, we'll pay you $1.139 million from, I think it runs out soon. From 2001 to 2025. So I think
the Orioles are paying Chris Davis like $2.5 million for the next 10 years.
I know
it's just Bobby Bonilla was like the first prominent New York City team. Like, I think it happens a lot.
It was, I think, the first big one that they don't talk about. And also somebody that should probably be in the young old guy bracket is Bruce Sutter. Because I think he threw that split finger. And you throw that splitter, the old fork ball, you're not long for Major League Baseball because it puts so much torque on your elbow. You're just not going to stay around very long. And despite the fact that he looked 59 years old, I think Bruce Sutter retired at like 34. And the whatever team he played for, a bunch of teams, I think it was the Cardinals, they made some deal with him where they had to keep paying him like $500,000 a year for like 12 more years or something. So these deals happen and it's great. It's, nice little nest egg, especially these guys get divorced and stuff.
So I actually did read that the Blue Jays were offering money in that ballpark. Like they were offering
like the taste of the beers.
Really were a threat, yeah. Which made me think that, like, is their owner dying? Because, like, I didn't think they had that kind of money, like Dodgers money, which, you know, we learned with the Padres, they went crazy spending, yeah. And then their owner died.
Yeah. I don't know who owns the Blue Jays. And talk about some tax liability. Canadian taxes have got to be more than California state income tax. So it was, he was damned if he did, damned if he didn't. Like, he was going to have to. And I believe supposedly it was his people that offered this. And especially because it's LA, they said that right now in the least known market in Major League Baseball, if you add, like, you know how we do the NFL thing, and I can't name the Falcons a lot of times, I'll miss a couple teams, the Vikings. If you asked 100 people to list all the Major League teams, 98 of them would forget there's a team in Anaheim. Guarantee you. He was making in the shittiest market in Major League Baseball. He was making $50 million a year in endorsements. Now he's going to LA. His people think he can double that. So he's like, this is his retirement. This is his 401k. He's like, hey, I don't want to pay state income tax. And also, I'm already going to double what I'm making. So just hold on to that shit and give it to me at the end. Pretty smart. So he was probably going to do the same thing in Toronto.
And this easily pays off for the Dodgers,
right?
Because then everyone in Japan, like, yep. It used to
they
be
own
the
Japan.
Mariners.
Yeah.
Now it's like the Dodgers are Japan's, like,
yeah,
team.
That's right.
And a kid growing up who's awesome at baseball and wants to come to Major League Baseball, yep. That kid who's 10 right now, he's going to think Dodgers first. Like, there's a million right. ways why this just is going to pay off.
Yeah, pays for itself.
He's an amazing player, yep. And, you know,
and hopefully,
luckily for you.
Hopefully, like, we also get Yamamoto.
The team you cheer for has that kind of money, but yeah. It's funny when Jason kind of tweets as if it's a skill to cheer for that team. Like, I'm not like a less knowledgeable baseball fan. I just cheer for a small market team.
That's
so
right.
Like, that's just how it goes.
It's your team.
But like, there's no skill in your team.
No.
It's just, that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
But while Toronto was in the mix, Toronto TV host and Dodgers broadcaster feuded over Ohtani. Jerry Hairston Jr. This was a quote from the Toronto, is Hairston a Dodgers guy?
Yeah, he's on the team.
So the Toronto broadcaster, TV host said, Jerry Hairston Jr., he played for 9 teams in 16 years.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted him on their team.
Oh, I mean, he's a journeyman that played 16 years in the major leagues. Like,
right.
You know, he played for a lot of teams.
I'd argue 9 teams wanted him on their team.
Exactly. You don't play a decade and a half in the major leagues, Major League Baseball, if you don't have skills. This is not like back in the day when Jay Johnstone would be on a team every year because he was funny. Or could
Steve
wrangle
Stone.
Poon. Yeah,
Stone.
Steve Stone.
But it's, there's no bigger bitch behavior than like getting into feuds with other broadcasters because you want this guy. Like, you're a grown man.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
No, it's embarrassing. And I will say this. I watch the Dodger games most nights. And Jerry Hairston Jr., he does a couple of troubling things. One, he wears Jordans with his suit every night. He's kind of like that guy. And then also, like, when he's on set, he'll be like, well, they're going to commercial. He'll be like working on his swing, like swinging a bat.
Oh, no.
Glove on, you know, he'll be practicing like he's going to take a little infield. But the most troubling of all is Jerry Hairston, who is a young guy. I think he's around my age.
He didn't play that long ago.
No, he lost his hair, and he's got that beaver pelt stapled on to the front. He's still got the hair in the back, but on the front he's got a curly little clip on thing that he puts on the front that he's acting like it's his real hair. And he's a good looking guy. He probably would look just fine bald, but instead every night I'm distracted by him swinging an Easton on the set, or a Louisville Slugger, and that fake hair. I'm always like, God, do the rest of the guys notice? Like, does Nomar say anything behind his back? It's very troubling, Jerry Hairston's fake hair piece.
So I have the MLB package. I watch the Orioles.
Yep.
And they probably give Jim Palmer 40 games.
Oh,
you know, he's like 80. Gorgeous. Yeah. He's like 80. So, you know, handsome. They give him 40 games.
Yeah.
And then the other 120, they give to Ben McDonald. And my God, the dude is still rocking the flat top.
Like, really?
Yeah. Like
Ben McDonald out of LSU?
At LSU, yeah. Who could hold all those baseballs
that's
in
right,
one hand.
That's right. Number one overall draft pick.
And LSU pitched him 8 million innings that's to right. win that College World Series. He got to it. The Orioles. He was
it.
Tired.
That was it. That was it. Exhausted. They'll do that. They'll do that.
He was like decent for a couple of years, and then like his arm was dead.
Yeah, it used to be major league teams would be like, let's draft college pitchers because they've shown they can do it on a higher level against better talent. And now the thinking is, let's get these kids fresh out of high school so we can treat their arm respectfully and get them ready for the major league so they're not completely blown out like these college guys are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's goofy, you know, likable Cajun dude. Yeah. But
beautiful.
But man, you can sit your watch to that haircut. Oh, yeah. Still rocking the flat top from 1989.
Much like Wally Szczerbiak. He's still got that going. Every time that March Madness comes around.
Well, oddly enough, he's the Knicks studio like halftime and postgame.
Oh,
he never played for the Knicks, but he's a Long Island guy.
Yeah.
And so I see him every night, and those brows.
Yeah.
Those brows are really a lot.
Yeah,
he's working a lot of eyebrow.
He's not, because he's probably like 6'7". He's not far off from a Sasquatch, because he very much has the look of a shaved ape, where he's just got those big.
Yeah,
he's got the flat top. He's got those that big brow hanging over there. That nuchal crest with the big eyebrows on it. He if there is a Sasquatch, it is somehow related to Wally Szczerbiak, I think.
This story leaked this week. Bills coach Sean McDermott had to apologize for crediting hijackers for their coordination.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently. By using more sustainable practices. By developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
And before 9/11, he was doing that in a team speech.
Hitler built a lot of roads. Like, you could come up with a better metaphor.
I need you to knife through that defense like a box cutter through a flight attendant's neck on 9/11.
Look, Josh Allen, I need you to lead. I need you to lead like Muhammad Atta out there. Like Muhammad Atta going through Logan Airport, all right? That's how I want you to break down this defense.
When the defense says, let's roll, Stephon Diggs.
Shoot him down.
Shoot him down. And then tell their families they were heroes.
I mean, it's not something that like he needs to be canceled for, but
no, but he should be shamed. Like he should be embarrassed.
Yes.
Well, it's just we've got centuries of different wars and things you could like if you want to go that battle route that you could pick like a good side. Like don't talk about coordination of the terrorists.
Yeah. No. Plus, it was what's his name? Fuck, I can't remember. The Arlie Ermey did, or no? Yeah, was it in?
Are you talking a Full Metal Jacket?
In Full Metal Jacket, when he talks about the University of Texas Tower shooter and Lee Harvey Oswald, he's like, this is a good example of a well trained Marine and his rifle. like it was funny then, you know, Sean McDermott, but maybe Just find a different metaphor. Yeah. It's then this doesn't happen.
There's just lots to choose from. Lots. This is kind of a nice story. A professional boxer made his debut at 58 years old.
And so he went in there and he hung for a few rounds. He used his jab and he won a hard fought decision. Ed, good for him. No, this guy's been training a long time.
What? He got knocked out inside of 10 seconds. I do. Grand opening, grand closing. I do.
Like I think about that sometimes. Like when I'm at the gym, I'm feeling pretty strong. You know, I'm lifting or I'm doing sprints. I'm like, I'm fucking athletic. And no, I'm not. I'm fucking old as shit. I'm just doing it against me. If I had to do it against a real person that was young and athletic, I'd get my fucking ass kicked every time. Like, it's people need to be. This guy needed this, you know. He needed to know that he's 58, and I'm proud of him for getting out there and attempting it. But this is what should happen.
They've got the video. They've got the video in here. I gotta watch.
Oh, this happened in the UK.
No, it's. Oh. The guy's name is Scott England, but it looks like it happened in Nashville.
Oh, okay. How is this? Also, how is this even sanctioned? No way that this could never go down in Vegas. Oh, let's see. I want to watch.
He's moving like a 50.
Yeah.
You got to watch it because
I'm going to play it with the sound. Oh, hold on.
Scott England, he moves.
Just seconds in, and let's just.
Okay. Oh, my God. He's so slow.
Watch. The right, left, on the chin. And his head slammed off the.
The guy only threw one punch.
Jay Sean Hunter just delivered the blow.
Scott England, he thought he was piecing him up. He landed like four weak shots. And the other guy just waited till he got close and put one directly on his chin, and that was it.
He was moving like De Niro in The Irishman. Like he rolls in there.
So bad.
And then he just gets destroyed.
Yes. Yes.
Meredith Whitney, the so-called Oracle of Wall Street. And I looked up, why is she the Oracle? And it was, well, she predicted the 08 crash. And I was thinking, well, so did I and every single person I worked with. Like, you could tell the water was pouring into the boat. Like, it was happening.
Yeah. The but only anyway, person that didn't predict it was Jim Cramer.
Right.
But he's wrong about everything.
But he's... In his defense, he's been great about everything else.
Yes. He gave us Lenny Dykstra, the greatest stock picker in the history of Wall Street.
Lenny Dykstra's computer probably wasn't even plugged in. He's like, wow, look at him go.
He couldn't read, so he bought DVDs to teach him the stock market.
The Oracle of Wall Street says men aren't having sex because of sports betting.
I mean... I have it on good authority that guys who play with Silver Point Sports fuck a lot, Ed. At least one, because they were 3-0. If they play with Silver Point Sports, they were 3-0 and then or 3-1 and then NFL on Sunday. So it's obviously she's not talking about Silver Point Sports, but maybe she just means because nobody will fuck her.
I was gonna say maybe it's like her husband.
Yeah, he bets a lot. Yes,
he's like, honey, I can't tonight. I'm betting.
He's like, I got the Packers. Plus three.
This is actually a super creepy story. The old Bengals wide receiver, TJ Houshmandzadeh, says an obsessed fan has legally changed her last name to match his and is going around pretending to be the mother of his kids.
You'd have to be
That's
crazy.
Fucking scary.
Yeah, you'd have to be crazy because who can fucking spell that name? Like, it's like you.
Oh, yeah.
You would pick... So, you know, you'd pick Randy Moss or something, somebody with the shorter, easier to spell name than Houshmandzadeh. Like who the fuck's trying that?
Yeah, that's Jerry Rice.
Yes, exactly. She has to be nuts. But also like, what are the odds we're going to find out that he fucked her, you know? Cause remember old Cinnamon Roll? He was just catching a nap in the condo that he ran from. That's right, Cinnabon.
Cinnabon. He was trying to catch a few Z's and she ended it.
She put a couple in his head because he wanted her to carry some of the burden of the Escalade lease that he had for her. He's like, hey, just pay a little bit. You know, I can't make all the payments. Former Cincinnati.
I was going to say, finally.
Yes.
Speaking of the city of Cincinnati, checking in on an old friend. Thom Brenneman.
Oh, the best.
He's at peace with his new life after the slur cost him his career.
would not change the last 3 years of my life to have my career back.
Stop. He was probably making
so much money.
So much money. Yeah, he had that. He was the number two man on Fox. That had to be a couple million bucks a year for just to do 8 games plus playoffs. Then he's been on the Reds broadcast for 30 years. That's probably another couple of million right there. He was cruising. He was fucking Thom Brenneman. His dad was Marty Brenneman. Like the guy. When the last time you think this guy fucking paid for a steak? You think this guy ever paid for his tots at Motor Pub? Doubtful. He's fucking Thom Brenneman. He's a made man in the city of Cincinnati. And then this happened.
Brian, I have on good Over authority. On the map.
Yes.
Good authority that I am enjoying. Calling games for the San Jose Gatos. Yeah.
In the Puerto Rican League and the Dominican Venezuelan League. Let's pour a little out for our dear friend Nick Castellanos, the official Major League Baseball player of the Ball Lifestyle Podcast.
The mound. I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of.
Real a lot of self tanner here, by the way. A lot of self tanner. Yeah. He was feeling himself. I saw him one time holding court, and he was wearing Dockers and like Rockports with a tucked in like Oxford shirt, drinking a Budweiser at a bar in Chicago, and he was leaning on the table chatting up some couple young pieces, and he's like 5'6". He's like, I'm fucking Thom Brenneman. Like, he knew he was Thom Brenneman. Even in Chicago, he's like, I'm Thom Brenneman. Guy had it all.
He was like the number three NFL team, yeah, too. Like, yeah. he was getting up there in the pecking order.
Yes. Might have been a Super Bowl in his future. Good. Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
It's now a meme.
And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
No, I will not. What? You weren't. Hopefully he gets... Maybe he gets another shot. Okay, let's do some emails.
I hope during that interview, Nick Castellanos just like walked through the room and they're like, oh.
That would be amazing. Okay, let's do some emails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring. And worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish. His thoughts are useless, shit. He's fat and got big tits. He's Manuel in Gardenia. Whoa, he's Manuel in Gardenia.
Whoa. Couple of voicemails here, Ed. See who we heard from this week.
Hey, ballers, it's Ben 906. Hey. Just listening to episode 502, right? I think 502,
yep.
Where Ed was talking about what he did to his son and reading. And I'm wondering if what Ed pulled on his son by doing the Cliff Notes is worse than how Jason Stewart, reads. So just wondering if that's better or worse than what Jason does. Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. I would say Ed's kind of worse because he's doing it to his son, Jason Stewart.
Well, I was promoting him actually reading.
But you allowed him to think that you had also read. Well, I mean, that's very similar, actually, to what Jason Stewart does. You allowed him to think that you actually read the words on the page. Now, Jason Stewart, he's doing more damage to himself because he's telling people, and he believes this, that he reads books when he does not, in fact, read books. He listens to books in his car. So he podcasts books, and then he goes, but he says, I read it. I read that book. But he didn't read that book. He listened to the podcast.
Yeah, I occasionally listen to a book on my bike. Sure. But I always say yeah. I listened to it.
I heard that book, yeah.
Listened to a good book on Da Vinci recently.
Oh, nice.
That dude.
He was a secret homo, right? They were all homos.
Not secret. That was the thing.
Oh, yeah.
He was like one of the people who was like, nah, like I find women icky. Yeah. Like he was out front about it.
Yeah, good for him. Good guy.
Genius.
Here's another one.
Hey, Brian and Ed, what's up? It's Dave in Salt Lake.
Dave.
I have to turn the wipers on real quick, sorry. Because I'm sitting in an almost dead stop and snow is just pouring down. I can't wait.
It's always snowing there. He's always got the wipers on or the blinker.
Well, luckily he's got a nice warm weather location for a wedding coming up.
Oh, that's right. He's got to go to Chicago and give that toast.
For 75 hard, I cannot wait to be in the snow and the ice. But nonetheless, I've already committed. That's and right. Unless I break a leg or something, I'm going to be in, Brian.
Yep.
You know who wouldn't have fucked up that shiv with Derek Chauvin?
Who's that?
Ryan O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, quote unquote, you know, from Ed Daly. Ryan O'Reilly got shit done.
He did.
Think Ryan O'Reilly would have fucked up that?
Well, hold on.
Cyril O'Reilly would have fucked it up, Ryan would not have.
He wouldn't have. Of course, we're talking about the great Dean Winters, Ryan O'Reilly on the show Oz. But
who now has made a gazillion more dollars as the Allstate guy.
He's mayhem. Yes, he would have gotten it done. But he wouldn't have gotten his own hands dirty. He would have farmed it out to the Italians or the blacks or somebody else or another group, the Aryans, another group in the prison because he didn't like to do the actual murdering himself.
But he was great at getting shit done.
He was a doer. He got shit done. That's for sure.
He would have been bagged up, after the first or second shiving.
That's right.
But also, guys, you're piling on my Florida State. You got to be kidding me.
Oh.
They're fucking undefeated.
Yeah.
They are undefeated. Though. It doesn't matter what conference. It doesn't matter.
It does.
You can't have two fucking teams that have losses and then not put an undefeated Division I team out of the BCS. Like they said in their meeting or quote, something they said, we fucked up, or this is going to hurt. I remember whatever they said. That's fucking bullshit.
Bullshit.
You know, if it was Long Beach State or the Terps, you guys would be to feel the same way.
Let me be crystal clear. Crystal clear.
Yeah.
Florida State deserved to be in it, and Alabama did not.
Yeah.
And they get graded on a curve that is unfair. They shouldn't have. The year they beat LSU in the rematch.
Yep.
Of the national championship game, they did not deserve to be in it. LSU had already beaten them in the regular season. But we were making fun of the politicians who have some real shit to do.
Yeah.
And they're going to like kick up dust just to make positive headlines for themselves when we know they're expanding the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's all we were saying. Absolutely, Florida State should have been there instead of Alabama. And the super tight buttholes in Ann Arbor tell you they believe Florida State should have been there too. Yes. Because they are not happy about having to play Alabama.
But all true, but Florida State would get smoked by any of the other three teams. Put them in.
I think they would, but they absolutely deserve to be in the Final Four.
They deserve to be a sacrificial lamb, that's for sure.
Yes.
I won't get over this. Ever. Any Seminole fan will not. But anyway, guys, take care.
Okay.
Not happy about Florida State, and hopefully I get home safely so I can stay in touch with you guys.
All right.
I love you both.
Okay.
Take care. See ya.
Stop and get one of those raspberry White Claws, because coming June 2nd, you're not going to be able to have any more White Claws, buddy. FYI. Not till March 17th. Okay. Here's another one.
Hey, guys. Super Lee here. Super Lee. Just wanted to call in and defend my email from last time. Mm-hmm. The problem I have with Russell Wilson is pretty much exactly what you said about how he's not a Wisconsin guy, but he claims Wisconsin. He's not genuine. It's the same thing Dola hates about Guy Fieri. Whoa. It's not that he helps people. It's that he acts fake and not genuine. I disagree with Dola on that, but I respect his opinion because people like J.J. Watt and Russell Wilson are the absolute worst because they're always fake.
That's true.
And especially you want to claim something like Wisconsin when, I mean, J.J. Watt went there, but that's after he couldn't get into Minnesota and had to go to Central Michigan.
Well, hold on, but I mean, he is an NFL Hall of Famer. Yes. Yes, but he is. I agree with you. He's fake.
Yeah. Last week, I really, really agreed. J.J. Watt called out the bullshit in the way, I forget, was it? One of the prominent baseball writers said, Otani's doing a disservice because he's keeping people in the dark in the free agency. And he called it out. He's like, this is fucking bullshit. And he was 100% right. J.J.
Yeah.
Watt was, I was like, that is a great point.
Yeah. You know, look, I was not a fan of J.J. Watt when he was on Hard Knocks rapping.
Being very performative.
Yeah, rapping Linkin Park lyrics at the screen and staying after practice to catch balls one-handed out of a pitching machine. Like, I was not a J.J. Watt fan then. But then
he's a good man with charity and shit.
Yeah, that he raised like fucking $70 million for that hurricane. I mean, he's kind of a good guy, and he was definitely a good player
for a year. Anyways, also wanted to call and say today, December 11th, is the 43rd birthday of the great show Magnum PI. First episode aired today in 1980. Love you guys. Love Magnum. Aloha. I'm out.
Aloha. Unbelievable. Wow, I did not know that.
That's and December 11th, we learned yesterday was the Buck Swoop. Donut.
That was his come up.
Anniversary. The 40th anniversary of when he got the money at the donut shop.
You mean to tell me there's enough money in a donut shop? Hey, I'll give you this. It was the end of the day. It was late at night. You mean to tell me a donut shop does enough business in a day to not only secure the triple net lease on a retail space in the fucking San Fernando Valley, but then you gotta at least put something up, because who are you? You're not going to get all that hi-fi equipment on credit. You got to have some cash up front
High fidelity.
That stands for high fidelity. You're telling me that Swope witnesses a brutal murder in a Winchell's and absconds with the ill-gotten gains and is able to start an entire hi-fi store based on that? I find that very hard to believe.
Also, on that same day, what do you think Roller Girl did to that guy?
Yeah.
Because she kind of curb stomped him with the roller skates.
Oh, he was fucked. A skate is heavy.
Dead? Is he brain damaged?
He was real fucked up. But it was a different time back then. He got what was coming to him. You know?
He was very rude.
He was rude to Roller Girl, and she was going through something. I'm reminded of that because this was right around episode 290. And I was trying to get the gear all together, and somebody came home from work and wanted to tell me about their day at work, and they were crying, and I'm like, I got Chris Morales over here drinking whiskey, trying to make a show. And I recall, and I think it was like maybe 279 or something, that episode, but I remember good friend of the show, Travis Rogers, he has a very low opinion of the great Buck Swope. He called him a loser on this podcast. He said, look, Buck's a loser. But Buck's a fucking hero. He's a small businessman. He made something of himself. He didn't like people calling it porno. He did art films.
He reinvented himself several times.
He did. He changed his look. Yes, Pharaoh. What do you think? Pharaoh. Cowboy. I mean, the guy wasn't afraid to take chances. And that's what you need. That's entrepreneurship, Ed. That you need a guy like Buck Swope.
Of course you do.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. A few emails. Ballers, I'm team all episodes. Brian, I first became aware of you from your weekly Friday Facts segment on the Travis Rogers Show. This was while Travis was still broadcasting from Houston. Please bring some version of that comedic gold to this podcast. Most hilarious segment ever. Fact. But I digress. I just wanted to nominate a candidate for the old looking young guy tournament. While almost any male actor from the 70s could win this tournament, you know, with their daily routine of waking up, ushering out the hussy from the night before, smoking heaters, guzzling booze, snorting booger sugar, and then having breakfast, to their nightly routine of picking up hussies, smoking heaters, guzzling booze, snorting booger sugar, and then having dinner. I nominate the winner of this tournament, Whitman Mayo, a.k.a. Grady Wilson from Sanford and Son.
Oh, yeah.
Whitman Mayo.
Grady.
Was born in 1930 and played the sexagenarian Grady Wilson beginning in 1973 when he was only 43 years old. Good googly goop. If you happen to read this email on the air, please advise your younger listeners to YouTube Grady from Sanford and Son. It's astonishing. Love the show, ballers. Keep up the great work. Rick in H-Town. Thank you for that, Rick. I mean, Sanford and Son, I was TiVoing it a while back, and I would fall asleep to Sanford and Son. It holds up. It is a funny fucking show. Red Fox.
What you
amazing.
Want, you big dummy?
He's amazing.
He's so mean to Lamont.
He was,
we now know he was doing a ton of blow.
Yeah, and he was a narcissist, emotional manipulator. Like he would guilt Lamont about everything. Lamont had to still live at home because his old man would guilt him into so much shit. He had to live at a junkyard with his dad. Sent this a month ago, but you blackballed me. Got to make some adjustments here.
Oh. I think we scrapped like a whole segment because we were just running long.
I think we did.
I don't think there was any blackball.
I thought we had done this, but I guess not. Sent this a month ago, but you blackballed me.
We did this.
I don't think we did. Congratulations on 500 episodes of bringing joy to a motley crew of listeners. No, the show was a little... No, we did do this fancier, right? A little fancier back in the day. But must say it has gotten better the past couple of years. Episode 290. Thank you both for all that you do for us. Much love. Oh, wait. Daily's Choice. See, these are on two different spots on the board. Oh, my God. Hold on. Here we go. Daily's Choice. I'm going to hit some buttons here. It's fucking little. Need a engineer. Daily's Choice. Travis Kelce or Reggie Bush. Walton Goggins or Timothy Oliphant.
Daily's Choice, it's a choice I make. Daily's Choice, watch me shiver while you shake.
I think that I just do Travis Kelce or Reggie Bush because the other one's a little gay, right? Walton Goggins and Timothy Oliphant, like.
I have an answer for both.
Okay, hit me with both.
Reggie Bush is beautiful.
He's gorgeous.
I want to see what he's working with. The problem is I've just gotten so much of Travis Kelce.
Assful. In his fake fucking relationship. You mean to tell me
it's just too much.
You mean to tell me that the tight end that's doing commercials for Pfizer and fucking
Allstate.
Thank you. He's got all these fucking commercial deals. Yes, he's a good receiver. He's a fucking tight end. You expect me to believe that he's in a real relationship with the biggest fucking pop star in the world? Get the fuck out of here. And I don't need any more tight ends shoved up my ass.
In my day, our tight ends did two things. One, they got perms. Two, they hosted American Gladiators.
Right. Yes. And they edge blocked. When was the last time Travis Kelce sealed the edge? Unlikely. Do you want to see his dick? Oh, you want to see Reggie Bush's dick instead? Yeah.
I bet he's got a
beautiful dick. I'm
sure it's beautiful.
He's got very shiny skin.
Yeah, he's gorgeous.
He's handsome.
Then I like both these actors.
Oh yeah.
But I am a huge Oliphant fan. He's got huge dick energy. He's a very cool guy. Yeah. I imagine he's packing.
I believe he's a USC guy. He continues, B, you must play the song. Who you scooping? Beyonce or Cardi B? Natalie Portman or Rachel Bilson?
Yeah.
Ed, you familiar with the song?
Yeah.
This
is from the great brand in Florida. We do not condone this. Hands
get the cluck, scoop it up. All y'all bitches get the suck.
Very misogynistic, Brad.
This is unbelievable.
Okay, Beyonce or Cardi B? Cardi B is like, you know, she's a stripper.
Well, I think, yeah. I think one would be a much better worker.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, no, no. I mean, Cardi B's got a song.
But Beyonce.
She got wet-ass pussy. Yeah, I
get it. Yeah, I'm sure she would be a joy.
Yeah.
But Beyonce.
Yeah, I mean, Beyonce is, she's stunning.
Beautiful she's one of the most famous people of all time. It's a big pelt for the wall there.
Yeah. I will say, Cardi B, with 100% certainty, would provide you with a much more gratifying sexual experience, which is usually what I'm going for. But also,
I agree in most scenarios, but you're not passing up Beyonce for pretty much anyone.
Yes. And now, because Beyonce, you get to tell people, hey, oh, by the way, let me remind you, I fucked Beyonce. Let me tell you about the time. Did I ever tell you guys about the time I fucked Beyonce?
Did I tell you Jay-Z and I are Eskimo brothers?
Yeah, exactly. I'd be telling people. Natalie Portman or Rachel Bilson. This is a no brainer for me. Natalie Portman is a child. She was a child in that. And I love that movie. Luc Besson's The Professional.
The Professional. Yeah. She actually was a child.
She was a child in that movie. And now that movie's problematic because she's in love. You know, I never really saw it before, but she's in love with Leon. And Leon, he plays it cool. He takes care of her as, you know, he does. There's no funny stuff going on. But it's a little unnerving. And look, Rachel Bilson, there's something about her.
She's agree. Although
she's up there.
Black Swan, I was a big fan of Natalie Portman in that, but it is Rachel Bilson.
Yeah, I agree. Because Rachel Bilson.
And now doesn't she do like a sex podcast?
Well, I think she just does a podcast. And on her podcast, somebody said, "What do you miss about Bill Hader?" And she said, "His big ass dick."
The big thick cock.
Yeah, so like that's something I can get behind and in front of. So thank you. That's from LSU Lala, by the way. Thank you. Okay, here's another one. Hey, Brian and Ed, what should a person do if they have a dear friend that listens to Ryan's Roses? Thanks for your help, G Fish. Oh, this is G Fish likes to send like inside jokes about his friends. Do you know what
Ryan's Roses?
So Ryan's Roses is
a bachelor?
No, it's Ryan Seacrest. And it's like a radio segment. I think he's nationally syndicated, but he broadcasts out of LA.
I think he got Casey Kasem's gig, right?
He did. Yeah, he does that too. And Pat Sajak. Like, how many jobs does this guy need? How much money does he need? But he does this segment on his radio show where people call up and they call somebody to expose them as a cheater. And I've heard it before.
It's all fake.
It's the fakest fucking thing you've ever heard in your life. And G Fish has a dear friend that listens to it and thinks it's real. And it's like a radio play. Also, you know how you know it's fake? Because they call people and they answer the phone. They're like, hello? Yes?
Yeah.
Nobody answers the phone. Who answers the phone? Exactly. Also, G Fish is known on the show as the guy that checks out my penis on the golf course. He's emailed it about it before. Okay, here's another one. Hello, gents. I'm sure this name is already on the list, but if not, it is on the list, by the way. I think Greg Oden looks older than Grady from San Francisco. Greg Oden would be a one seed. Congrats on 500. I've been a listener since the first pod. I'm sorry to say that it's taken over 500 podcasts for me to send an email. Also, Brian, I would like to be put in the drawing for the watch. You're in. Thank you both for the years of entertainment. Jason from Houston in Ed's region for work. Here's another one.
Shame my region?
No, that's just it. He's just letting us know his geographic location, but maybe he's in like Connecticut, in which case, shame.
Yeah, you don't want to be in the Nutmegs.
No, no. Ricky's mom in Better Off Dead was only 38. Also, I'm very upset about Robbie Banks. Just like you said, the Banksy conspiracies were totally funny, i.e. Massive Attack, and some other people said he was in the KLF. Or that it was a conglomerate of guerrilla street artists working in conjunction globally. It being a schmo named Robbie is pretty deflating. We're talking about the outing of street artist Banksy as a guy called Robbie Banks last week. It's like when it was revealed that the Toynbee tiles weren't put on Earth by some traveling space warriors and was just some reclusive artist in Philly. Or that Max Headroom video that disrupted a PBS station in Chicago wasn't the broadcast of the real Max Headroom. You mean Matt Frewer being taken hostage by Iranian terrorists? Just some autistic kid in Oak Park with a video camera and too much time. This is getting very niche. I don't know any of these references. We need to.
I've never heard of Toynbee tiles.
I know. We're about to find out, though. We need to protect our guerrilla artist legends. This is such a bummer. Fucking Robbie Banks. Oh, that's from the great Katie Shady.
Hey, Katie.
Also, in case you've never heard of Toynbee tiles, here you go. There were a few in Cincinnati downtown.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. This is some Cincinnati knowledge here. Of course. Katie Shady, let's see here. Toynbee tiles. I bet she's got some stories about Thom Brenneman. The Toynbee tiles, also called Toynbee plaques, are messages of unknown origin found embedded in asphalt streets in about 24 major cities in the United States and 4 South American cities. Since the 1980s, several hundred tiles have been discovered. They're generally about the size of an American license plate. They contain some variation of the following inscription. This is like some In Search Of shit, Ed. You remember In Search Of?
Sounds familiar.
It was a show hosted by Leonard Nimoy, and it was unexplained phenomenon.
Yes, yes.
Toynbee idea in movie 2000 Resurrect Dead on Planet Jupiter. Well, this is made by a drug addict. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Some of the more elaborate tiles also feature cryptic political statements or exhort readers to create and install similar tiles. The material used for making the tiles was initially unknown, but evidence has emerged that they may be primarily made of layers of linoleum and asphalt crack filling compound. Articles about the tiles began appearing in the mid-1990s. Though references may have started here in the mid-1980s. Well, I'll be honest. I'm embarrassed that I didn't know about this. This is the kind of thing I like to know about.
See, I was going to say the opposite.
You were happy not to know?
It's not that there's I'll never go to Cincinnati. Who knows? Life might bring me there. I'm not going to give a shit about going to see the Toynbee tiles. Yeah. Like, I aggressively don't care about this.
Also, I agree. I would never.
Pub, tater tots?
Of course.
Fuck yeah.
Of course. Man. My initial thought would never have been that these things were fucking made by aliens. I would have thought some fucking guy stuck it to the street.
The first giveaway is because aliens haven't made anything on here.
No.
We're just lucky to be organisms that live.
You know what I was reading, Ed, today?
What?
That they... Biologists, hold on. I hate to digress like this, but I was talking to Jay Stu one time before we're doing our Bachelor podcast, and it was that time that baby snake was outside my back door, right? Yeah, and it was right before the show, and I came upstairs, and I'm like, oh man, there's this little tiny snake outside, and he's like, well, weren't you scared? And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, because the babies are much more poisonous than the adults, and I go, that's not true. And he goes, oh, you're just going to not believe biologists. And I go, you've never heard a biologist say that. That's just some bullshit that people say, that the baby snakes are more poisonous than the adult ones, because they're not. And he, And I don't know.
Well, he probably read it in a book.
Yeah, he heard it in some book, but he's wrong. And I know that he's wrong, but
the only guess that I could see that he conflated is it wouldn't surprise me if you heard that babies are more aggressive because their bite, they're a little more erratic.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. But how could something smaller in size be more poisonous than something?
And they say they say they can't control their venom output, but they can. And a lot of times a snake will bite you. And this is interesting, Ed. Oftentimes rattlesnakes bite you and it's a dry bite. They don't even use their venom because they know they don't need to kill you to eat you. They just want you to go away. So they bite you dry, which is interesting. But I'm digressing. You know what I read today?
What?
They have, biologists have dissected some whale carcasses recently, like in the past decade, recently dead whales. And they found in their bodies microscopic pieces of harpoons from the 1850s. There are whales on this planet, Ed, that are 200 years old.
They've got Queequeg's harpoon in there.
Yes. Is that from Moby Dick?
Yeah, he's the narrator.
You're the one person on the planet that's read Moby Dick, Ed, because it's the most fucking boring book that's ever been written. Did you listen to it?
No, Ishmael. What am I saying? Of course, Ishmael's the narrator. No, right. I was just trying to find the most obscure name.
I like that. Well, I like that quickly. So my point is, fuck space. We got 200-year-old mammals on this planet that are smarter than us, but we don't know they're smarter than us because they live in the water. And we think that makes them not as smart. We need to fucking look into the sea and see what's happening in there. You ever seen a fucking octopus? What the fuck is going on there? You ever seen an oarfish? Get the fuck out of here. There's all sorts of shit happening in the sea that we don't know about. And we're all fucking jerking off with dick rockets up in fucking space where there's space bullshit. Fuck space.
The only reason why people care about space is because of Star Wars. Like,
fuck Star Wars. Get the fuck out of here.
Childhood me loved Star Wars, but then I realized that there isn't Chewbacca up there. There's nothing up there.
And also, what's up with Chewbacca's dick? He's fucking naked. He's naked, but he fucks.
So many dingleberries.
Yes.
He must have dingleberries all the time.
We learn.
The cockpit must have smelled terrible in the Millennium Falcon.
Of course. We learn in the fucking prequels, dog shit. Fuck George Lucas. Anybody more overrated? The answer is no. We learn in the prequels that there's fucking a whole planet full of Wookiees like Chewbacca, and they fucking have babies, but they're naked. Are they an animal? Where's their dicks? What's going on there? Well, you can't have pants.
Unclear.
You can have conversations, but you can't have pants. You see everybody else wearing pants.
I bet the Chewbacca people, the Wookiees.
Yeah.
They probably have the lipstick like dogs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You think so? Jeez. Because it pops out.
What else could it be?
Pink
because
thing. You're, yeah.
You don't see, because you have to think Chewbacca, if he did have a penis, it would be pretty substantial.
I would think so. He's like 8 feet tall.
And big dick energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you see nothing. So I have a feeling a lipstick comes out when it's time to procreate.
And it's a hog when it comes out. It's a big ass. It's like a Maglite lipstick.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one. I am certainly lazy when it comes to surveys or any extracurricular work, no matter how simple or effortless it may seem. It appears I am in good company, however, based on how many people you were able to coerce into leaving show reviews for The Crystal. My laziness in no way reflects how I feel toward the podcast and all the characters involved. I discovered it through the bachelor lifestyle via an X from Jay Stu. I think he means tweet from Jay Stu years ago. After hearing the main pod with Ed Daly, I could consider myself a red circler for life from that point forward. I am typically short with my words, but there are not enough words to express my appreciation for the hours of content and entertainment that you have provided. And although I was tapping out of the sports betting game a few months ago after years of ass whoopings, like any good addict, I dove back in after Silver Point Sports changed the sports betting landscape. I don't need to win the Luke Leon, but will be able to buy my own with the winnings from Silver Point. It would obviously be badass to have the original from the wrist of one Brian Beckner, no doubt. It may be as close as I can get to sharing the same bag space as Louis Leterrier. Oh, I looked that up, by the way. He paid me $100 for those jeans. Thank you both and all guests who make appearance, especially your other co-host, Jason Stewart, for the countless hours of entertainment. I will nominate all housewives of whatever city you want to pick as the baggiest of celebrities, just due to the fact of how often I have to see them on my TV. My wife watches an endless stream of those, and as soon as you reach the end of a season and expect to get a breather, another city steps in with their bottomless bag of worthless drama that makes my blood boil. No way to narrow it down to just one. Take it easy. That is from Scott. Scott, you are entered in the contest, obviously.
That was a lovely email.
P.S. The movie reviews are incredible. Have you guys ever been into old Chuck Norris movies like Lone Wolf, McQuaid, or really any of them? It'd be nice if somebody else could sit through those and give me the highlights. Ninja movies from the 80s are top-notch as well, with superstars like Sho Kasugi. Phenomenal. Of course, he must have forgotten Michael Dudikoff, the American Ninja Warrior, because that's the guy. That's the only ninja I care about. Okay, thanks for that, Scott. Here is a, let's do the not sports.
Hello?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Yep. Wait. Oh, I'm on the wrong deck. Oh, here we go.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports
segment. Ed, before you get into it, somebody, friend of the show, hit me up this week and was like, hey, did I hear Ed give you a link to some Chinese website for jerseys? And I was like,
yeah. I handed it out to a couple people as well.
Yeah, and then I sent it to him, and then I'm like, I kind of want to get a vintage A's jersey. And I went,
they
and
have
looked.
It.
Oh, my
sure.
God, they have everything, Ed.
It's amazing. And it'll come, like, it'll come in, like, 7 weeks or 9 weeks.
Yeah.
But it'll be, like, good.
Yeah. I know. It's a little concerning because you're like, how, for $30, like, how good could it be?
Good.
Yeah. I'm getting one. I'm definitely getting one. Okay.
Like, Jordans, like, you can get real shit.
Okay. I'm getting that shit. Ed, what is going on in things that are not sports?
Wealthy neighbors blast Jeff Bezos for, quote, not picking up trash on cleanup day. It's fun to bag on Bezos, but everyone knows he is so far removed from trash.
Yeah, of course.
This guy hasn't dealt with trash cleanup in decades.
Yeah. I have a hot take, Ed. His neighbors are even bigger pieces of shit than Jeff Bezos, because I imagine Jeff Bezos lives in a pretty fucking nice neighborhood. How about they leave the fucking confines of their gated community where they're picking up discarded doubloons on the street, and they fucking head to where some real human beings need some actual help? Get the fuck out of here, you pieces of shit. Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Choice ends taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.
And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you play us in shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.